I want to tell listeners out there, licking toads is not recommended. It's bad for you.
So what about toes?
Toes are good. Yeah, no, toes are cool. Sucking toes, licking toes, those are fine.
Wow.
We just learned a whole lot about Greg Cody.
We just got our cold open.
Now that's a baby. Baby.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
That kind of thing, that kind of thing, that kind of thing.
Welcome to the 2022 Greg Cody Show Non-Sport Olympics on Greg BC. We are presented by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Here's your host, Greg Cody. Put on your Mike Tirico right now.
I don't have a Mike Tirico. The adult baby, which I don't want to call him on the air because that's making fun of the way a person looks, which I wouldn't do about anybody except Billy Corbin.
I've never thought of this.
Right? Am I right?
Well, we're leaving that in. Welcome to Greg BC, everyone.
You all can't see this because it's a podcast, but I am on the set of the Greg Cody Show Non-Sports Olympics. This is so exciting. We have been, I don't know why we spent all this money to actually build a stage for a podcast where nobody can see anything, but it's so exciting here. We have a professional stage. We are staging the Greg Cody Show Non-Sports Olympics.
Isn't it Non-Sport Olympics?
I go back and forth on that.
I like singular there.
You do that with Lobo Mints and Lobos Minced as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's another controversy.
It's got to be Lobo Mints. Not LeBron James tequila Lobos Mints. But
here's a cute story about that. You know, LeBron is now the part owner of the Lobos tequila. And he had the courtesy to call me up and we actually had lunch together because he wanted to make sure that I was cool with him, you know, getting in bed, so to speak, with another Lobos, you know, because obviously when you think Lobos, you think Greg's Lobos, America's premier fantasy football team. He did ask me, what do you think of Bronny getting into NFTs? So we had that long discussion. I had to ask him, what's an NFT? And it went downhill from there.
Did you guys go for tacos on a Tuesday?
We did. We went to a little Honduran restaurant. He flew down here. It was fantastic. He picked up the tab, by the way, which I was totally, you know, I've only had lunch one other time with a man of his wealth. And I took Wayne Huizenga, the former Dolphins owner and a billionaire, to breakfast once.
Enough of this.
And I picked up the check. And it made me feel special buying a meal for a billionaire. But anyway, LeBron paid. I'm totally cool with him naming a tequila after the Lobos. I mean, that's just totally.
He wanted to check in with you first.
That's right.
Yeti, if you're out to lunch with, like, it's you and one other person, and you're paying for the bill, and the bill is $24, and you say out loud, "I'm going to leave a big tip." What do you imagine, like, the person that, as, like, that's a big statement to make. Like, generally, there's nothing spoken about tip. It's just, but if someone says audibly, "This was good service, I'm going to leave a big tip," what's, like, the minimum amount you should see if you're going to, like, make that kind of statement?
Okay. A big tip, I mean, I would say, you know, if 20 is standard, so, I mean, it's going to have to be 35, 40, easy.
Right. So what's 40% of, like, I was hoping you'd give me a dollar amount, but.
Oh, man, I'm not doing math.
Okay. Well, 20% would be like $5. 20% is like $5. Yeah. So, like,
the bill was actually $22.10.
$22. Sorry. Okay. So it was 22. Sorry. It was $22.
On a $25 tab, 50% is going to be a $12 tip. So just shy of that. You know.
Right. So like $10.
$10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
My dad left $7 and I was making fun of him.
It's a perfectly fine tip.
I was like, it's actually a really good tip, but it's not comment worthy.
It's more than 33%.
If you just like it's not brag worthy though. Like if you have a $22 bill and you're bragging about to the person you're with, "I'm about to leave a big tip," you need to leave a $10 tip.
I'm revising this. If for it to be noteworthy, you need to double it up. Really, for it to be something like, if you're going to call it a big tip, it needs to be doubled up.
Dad, the tip we're giving you here is, it's a good tip. It just wasn't brag worthy, and you bragged. You got to come stronger if you're going to brag.
Okay, here's the deal. I am fighting my unearned reputation as a cheap person. Okay, one of the many ways Levitard slanders me on the air is by constantly referring to myself as cheap.
No, you're right. You're not cheap. $7 is a good tip. That is a great tip.
It's a good tip on a $22 bill. It's a 33% tip.
It's a great tip. I'm teasing you. Don't get all sensitive. All right. I'm not saying you're cheap. I'm just saying it was funny that I thought you bragged, so I was expecting a little more.
That's okay. It. I did consider leaving a $10 tip.
That's the best part. He's like, it entered his brain, but he's like, I can't do that. I mean, I just can't do that, actually.
Right. Hey, eventually, podcast family, and thank you all for being back with us again. This is a big time. Obviously, we're going to talk Super Bowl. Obviously, if you've been in the United States and paying attention in the last week, you know that the biggest story in sports is detonating around the Miami Dolphins, where the fired coach Brian Flores is suing the NFL, suing everybody he can think of, and including the Dolphins owner. And so we're going to talk about that too. But obviously, I need to talk about the thing that everybody in and out of sports is talking about, which is toad venom. Okay. I saw a headline. In journalism, there's things called read me headlines, which are headlines that are just so bizarre that you can't not click on that story. And this one was, why is everyone smoking toad venom? Okay, there's two things there. Number one, what the F is toad venom?
Is it the cure for COVID? Is it Joe Rogan?
It should be, right? Well, I want to read you a paragraph from something called addictioncenter.com. Recently, the practice of smoking toad venom has been gaining traction across the United States. Licking toads in the Bufonidae family has been a practice to experience a psychedelic trip. Licking toads can be dangerous, however, and may cause muscle weakness, rapid heart rate, and vomiting. The toad venom being used today is from the Colorado River toad, also known as the Sonoran Desert toad. And I've been through the Sonoran Desert, by the way. Beautiful drive.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
That's where he got his first quake.
On the way to, I think
it's one of those things. On the way to Arizona. It's one of those things you might just say, though, so I really don't know if it's true.
No, I have. The nocturnal toad grows up to 7 inches in length and has dark, leathery skin. By the way, there's nothing scarier than a toad than a nocturnal toad. Imagine toads that only roam at night. You can't even see them.
Most of them, Greg.
Well, this toad is found in Mexico and the United States and Colorado, California, New Mexico, and Arizona. And the reason I bring this up is, look, back in my ute, I dabbled in recreational drugs. I'm not going to say I didn't. But Greg Cody is drawing the line at licking a toad. And my question is, what won't you do for a psychedelic high? Because I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to put a snake down my pants. I'm not going to do anything that involves something absolutely crazy. And licking a toad ranks up there for me. Like, I don't
saying,
know.
What, are we saying lick a toe or lick a toad? I'm kidding.
A toad.
I'm kidding.
I would lick my toe.
I would.
If I could.
You have
I used to be able to.
You, baby, you have a weird fear of toads. So yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's other animals I'd rather not lick than a toad. Like, the toad's not the top of that list. Like,
name one.
A snake?
Oh, I think a toad is number one for me.
Well, that's because you are afraid of toads.
I think it started in school. You know, I don't even know if they do this, but back when I was in school, biology class, you had to cut open a toad, science class or whatever it was. You had to dissect a toad.
I always saw that on TV, but never actually did it.
Oh, we had to do that. And the smell of formaldehyde in that science room where you had to take a scalpel, it just really freaked me out about toads. It
stuck with you, huh?
And now all these years later, the idea that toad venom would be something desirable to people looking for a weird high is just so bizarre to me. But anyway.
Well, it is bizarre.
And I want to tell listeners out there, licking toads is not recommended. It's bad for you.
So what about toes?
Toes are good. Yeah, no, toes are cool. Sucking toes, licking toes, those are fine.
Wow.
But, Man, we just learned a whole lot about Greg Cody.
We just got our cold open.
Now, that's a baby. Baby. Toad sucking. That is a thing. Some people get off on that.
Toe.
Didn't Rex Ryan get off on
Yeah, he's a feet guy.
Toes? Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I don't mind feet. I would say I'm like a medium well guy on feet.
You know, whatever
I do not like feet touching me at all. I'll rub my wife's feet, you know, but like when my kids, especially, we're at a restaurant and they stick their foot like across the booth and like on my leg, I'm like, it bugs me out. I can't handle it.
Well, we've learned you're an odd cat.
Yes. Yeah. It's really a dirt thing. It's a filth thing. Feet are dirty. I don't want dirty feet rubbed all over me.
But it's a shoe rubbing you.
Even just as bad, if not worse. That shoe's got pee-pee floor on it, you know?
Pee-pee floor.
I don't mind that.
By the way, can you drink some water? Good God, I didn't want to go like hit you with it during your spiel about your toad venom. Like,
right.
You sounded like shit on the Tony Kornheiser podcast. I'm surprised. Like, since you went on that show, you know, you didn't want to do an emergency episode. That's what Yeti was thinking. That like, oh shit, Kornheiser mentioned me again.
By the way, I apologize to the producer after the show was recorded because I told him, sorry about my voice. It's a morning thing with me. But now it's not the morning, so apparently it's an everyday,
constant thing with me. Exactly, and it's you don't drink any water, you drink coffee, which dries out your voice. Chris Whittingham the other day, he gave you tea, and your voice instantly sounded better. And it's like you do nothing to help your voice, and it's just, it's insane.
I hear you. Tea for the Tillerman.
I hear you.
I thought the biggest story in sports this week was that the Greg Cody Show made it into the top 20 of sports podcasts.
Wow, thank you, Yeti, for bringing that up. I'd completely forgotten about that.
Dad, you put it in an email that you wanted one of us to bring it up to.
Well, you know, you don't have to air our dirty laundry. But, with a little bump, tweak, wink, wink bump from the Levitard Show, we managed to have our second highest ranking ever. Our only higher ranking was when Christopher got shit-canned by ESPN, and we were the first to talk to him about it in a Greg Cody Show exclusive. So that was exciting. But we reached number 20. Thanks. You know, ultimately, it's thanks to you all out there who are listening right now, and we really appreciate the support. Christopher brought up Tony Kornheiser a minute ago, and I wasn't going to mention this until, you know, because I didn't think of it, but he brought it up. I love Tony Kornheiser. We've been friends for a long time. You know, we're not what I'd call personal friends, but we're certainly professional friends. And I never hear from him unless a bomb drops on Miami. Unless there's a story in Miami sports that demands attention, I never hear from the guy, Tony. Come on, hit me up once in a while. Let's do lunch.
World's best friend, Greg Cody over here, who hits up all his friends all the time. I mean,
I am a bad friend, but I want others to be a good friend to me.
Tony Kornheiser, we want to have him on this podcast, but my dad thinks because he's gone on his show so much that's an easy get for my dad.
Yeah,
telling him as like with the he likes Dan Le Batard, and we've gotten him on I think one time ever. He does not like to do like those type of just like hits. So it's like I like the fact that we're talking about this on air because we can see who will win this bet. If you never hear from Tony Kornheiser, Chris won the bet, and if we have him on in the coming months. Than my dad did, but I'm interested to see if you can get him because I do not think you can.
I don't want to do the usual conversation with him. You know, hey, how is it working with Wilbon on PTI? You know, he's a big music fan, and
Gotta talk about being old. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear you guys just doing like a whole back in my day segment, just bitching about things.
Yeah, Tony, I love associating with people older than me because it makes me feel younger. And Tony has me by a few years, so I do jump at the chance to be on with him. Anytime, but I predict right now.
Can we just pause real fast?
Go ahead.
Just dissect that joke you just made because you made it at lunch the other day.
What joke is that?
Like just the joke of I like to associate with older people to make me feel young.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like I do.
Is that just a joke that you're like, that's the joke that's in my brain to make for generations? So like I'm going to make it, even though no one laughed. Neither of us smiled. I purposely looked at Yeti and myself while you were saying it. And it's just like Greg's going through the motions, saying the old, I like to put myself around younger people than me.
Older people than me.
Whatever. Right. I'm just saying. It was just funny that you said it at lunch, and I think I just gave you a blank stare. And you're like, this one is just a nice fastball for me. I can just do it. People will laugh. But I don't know if anyone's laughing.
I feed off blank stares. Blank stares nourish me.
Blank stares nourish me.
they do. I think the my best friend in the neighborhood was Frank Torrey, God rest his soul. He and I had the same birthday. He was exactly 25 years older than me, and it was just cool having an older buddy to hang around with. It was great. I don't want to hang around with somebody in their 20s. You know, that would take me for. But
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Cody has lost his train of thought.
Well, I don't know where we are in the show. You know, cut out all this awkward silence.
Well, we had a couple of people call in with some ideas for the non-sport Olympics. Should we go to a couple of those?
The Greg Cody Show non-sport Olympics. Let's do it.
Wait, these aren't phone calls. We have these people. Like, we have the saddest studio audience ever. It's seven people. And it's like, what are their names? We might not get to all of them, but just what's the crowd looking like?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty good crowd out there.
Oh, they're making noise! Look at that crowd noise.
Let's see what they've got for us. Brendan, what's your idea for a non-sport event?
Hey guys, first time caller, occasional listener. The thing that I believe I belong on the Mount Gregmore of is stopping the DVR precisely at the right moment. Too early, and you're watching a commercial. Mm. That's the whole reason I have a DVR in the first place. Too late, and you're missing important dialogue from your program. But I'm talking about that perfect timing.
Wow.
Where the commercial is fading to black and your show comes back on.
That's good.
It's Nirvana. It's better than being a garbage man.
That's really good.
At Brendan Correo.
You know, that's not bad, Brendan.
B-R-E-N-D-A-N.
Oh my God, Brendan, enough.
Oh, God. Blame it, Brendan.
Tighten these.
You know, I have to be honest, Brendan started to lose me when he referred to himself as an occasional listener. You know, we want constant listeners on this show, not occasional listeners. But Brendan, a pretty good effort. I didn't know anybody used DVRs anymore. So way to go old school on that. Appreciate
No, but like what he just means by that is like any recording system on your TV, like the art of a Netflix channel or whatever, the art of like trying to rewind and fast forward and being good at it. Because I have to admit, this is a great category that I would not be good at.
Right. You know who's terrible at that? Your mother. I married a woman who doesn't know how to fast forward or rewind accurately. And she, you know, when we're watching a new episode of a show, whether it's Righteous Gemstones or whatever, I don't want to fast forward through the highlights of the previous show. I want to watch those.
Agreed.
And she fast forward through all those. It drives me crazy. And no matter how many times I mention it, you know.
That's more of an editorial decision to do that more than her skill lacking at being good at that. So this is a kind of a different ballgame that you're playing, but still a valid complaint.
Yeah, but her skill is bad too, because she constantly fast forwards it into the start of the new episode. And I'm a stickler for that. I'm anal about that.
And she like does, and she's like, oh, we'll start here. It's like, no, go back, back more. You went too far.
If I literally miss 5 seconds and two words of dialogue, I want her to rewind it and have a clean start. I'm weird about that. Let's do one more.
Got Drake.
We got Drake?
Otherwise known as the Cody Cavalry.
Oh, this one's good too.
Oh, we can definitely advertise that Drake is on the podcast.
Hey, Greg Cody Show. This is Drake, a.k.a. the Cody Cavalry, a nominee for the non-sport Olympic Games featuring Greg Cody, hosted by Greg Cody, sponsored by Greg Cody.
Thank you, Drake.
Is the Shopping Cart Carousal Thrust. Launch, whatever you want to call it. When you're in the parking lot of a grocery store, you're about 5-10 yards out, no cars around, everyone knows you're just letting that shopping cart fly. That's a great nominee, and hope it's into non-sporting event games. See you guys.
Thank you, Drake.
I like it.
Yeah,
that one, as someone who's a recent convertee over to returning shopping carts to Corral's, I have played this game many a time. And sometimes I like to, in the store, before I get out to the parking lot, I'll in the middle of an aisle, just let my cart go a little bit just to see if there's any break in it. If I know if it breaks a little left, I know when I get out to the parking lot, I got to aim a little right on my push. So I like to always feel my cart out at some point in the, because you get a nice good read. It's like a nice putting green, those floors. And, like the road outside is like putting on a rough green, but you like to get a nice feel for your cart on a nice putting green inside the store.
I can't let us leave this shopping cart convo without getting something off my chest. I'm tired of being made to feel guilty because I don't walk 40 steps to the corral to return my cart.
You're taking the baton from me. You're like taking like the Cody baton of shopping cart takes. Like I like this was like my most polarizing take ever, and now I'm like finally changed on it, and you're
I'm not.
I know
I'm
that's
not
my
changed
point.
On it.
Yeah, I know you're taking the baton.
I mean, Stan Van Gundy, I don't know if you saw his tweet. Stan Van Gundy wrote an outraged, indignant tweet, basically saying that people who don't return their carts to the corral are the worst people on
Mike
earth.
Sure wrote a chapter in his book.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
And I have the book. I'm actually reading it. It's a great book, but I DM'd him. I'm like, do I get any money for this? He's like, I should have dedicated the book to you. He told me he should have dedicated it to me.
I'll tell you, Chris Cody reading a book is just one of the proudest moments of my life, because I never thought I'd save the day. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm getting the audiobook version of that. I don't read.
I think Harry Potter was the last book I actually read.
Okay.
By the way, we are definitely promoting that Drake's on this podcast today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we're honored to have him. Yeah. But in closing, to the Mike Shores and Stan Van Gundy's of the world, what a weird hill you've chosen to die on. With all the things in the world to be more outraged about, you're going to make a point of getting on people for not returning a shopping cart? Unbelievable.
See, you can't come at those two, because those two are very like outspoken about like things that they don't believe in. And like,
okay, both of these events today, I think, might make the cut. Let's do one more Greg Cody Show, no sport Olympic event, and then we'll get on to talking about a couple other things.
Okay. Oh, wow. This guy seems like he's traveled a good bit to get over here. His name's Tom.
Oh, God.
Hello, Greg.
Oh, God.
This is Tom Oceana from Climax, Kentucky.
Oh, Jesus.
Speaking of Climax, Mrs. Mosiana suggested that I could also compete in the non-sport Olympics, considering the speed at which I complete certain activities in the bedroom. In fact, she has even nicknamed me 10 Second Tom. Why has she so eloquently bestowed that title upon me? I will let you do the math. Does Mrs. Cote have any pet names for you? I will hang up and eagerly listen.
Wait, so
good
is he,
day, y'all.
Is he bragging about how fast he goes or how long he lasts?
I don't know. He said he'll let us do the math.
Is it 10 Second Tom? Okay.
That would be a non-Olympic event that would never air on any broadcast network. Although we are airing the Olympics from human rights violating China, so I guess anything is possible.
All right, Dad. I mean, does Mom have any pet names for you? That would be quite something to put in the description of this podcast.
Yeah, we won't go there.
So you'll confirm that there are names.
Did I just confirm that by saying we won't go there? I don't think so. You know, she does refer to me as the point.
Oh, God.
I don't know whether that is sexual or not. So,
God.
We won't elaborate on that one. But anyway, listen.
Because your head's pointy, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Your shoulders.
Hell yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Put your head on my shoulders. That's a song from the 60s. I can't remember who sang it.
Dad.
Sinatra.
Let's play the game right now like a freestyler would. I'm just going to throw out words and you like have to try to see if you can come up with a song.
Okay.
Like, all right. Yellow.
Mellow Yellow from Donovan. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Thank you.
Most people would say Yellow Submarine, but to me that's second.
Red.
Little red Corvette, Prince.
Red, red wine.
Ooh, yeah, UB40. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good point. Didn't Taylor Swift put a whole album out named Red?
Horse.
Horse with no name. America.
There you go.
Diamond.
Through the desert.
Neil Diamond.
Diamonds are forever.
Diamonds are forever. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Leather.
I saw Neil Diamond in concert once, by the way. What a bizarre experience. Neil Diamond, who I like but not love, but I thought my wife would enjoy seeing him. And I'm glad we did see him, because he's an all-time great. And a couple of years later, you know, he has an illness that forced him to retire, basically. So we got to see him. But it's like seeing a Broadway show. You know, he's so theatrical on stage and everything is so exaggerated, both in voice and motions, that it's just it was a weird trip. I didn't expect it. What were you saying?
What's the worst concert you've ever been to?
That's a tougher question than what's the best concert, because I don't think anybody spends $50 plus nowadays, $200 plus to see a concert if they're not absolutely sure they're going to love this act because they've seen it before or because they just know they're going
to
love it.
I just figured you'd have to have one like where you walked out and you were just like, yeah, that wasn't very good.
Well,
besides the Monkees.
No, it was Bob Dylan. And I'm such an admirer of Bob Dylan, but we happened to see him once. He's a very moody guy, Dylan. You know, you never know whether you're going to get happy, effervescent Dylan or moody Dylan. You don't know whether he's going to play his hits or not. And in this concert, he played almost nothing but songs that he enjoyed playing that nobody in the audience enjoyed playing. The only song he played that would have been called a hit that you would have heard on the radio was Tangled Up in Blue, which I love. But other than that, and I'm a Dylan fan, he played an hour and a half of songs I had never heard of. So that was a disappointment.
Let's take a commercial break so you can drink some water.
I'll do that.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Okay, before we get started.
We've already started. We're like halfway through. Okay. No, we're keeping that.
I'm an amateur. Before we continue, I got to tell you, this has turned into a high-rolling podcast, okay? I'm talking to you from a big stage set for the Greg Cody Show Non-Sport
Olympics.
Thank you
guys all for being here. How about this crowd?
Yeah, seriously. Thank you all. All seven of you. It's been
cold
great.
Here, even though we're like, you know, even though we're still in South Florida, it feels like it should be cold at the Olympics.
It really does. Yeah. Especially the Winter Olympics. But I want to tell you that we are spending big money, and you're going to see this next week's podcast.
Bunny.
We're spending big money to send Christopher to L.A. as our Super Bowl correspondent for the podcast. So, Christopher, congrats.
I'm going with the Levitard Show. And Shits and Giggles is paying for me.
Okay, well, you know, they might be as well, but we're picking up the tab. It's a special arrangement between me and the Sheets and Giggle guy that I didn't want to tell you about.
I'm basically going to have to do most, like, all of my work for the Levitard Show out there.
You know, you'll throw in some work for us. I know you will. You'll do your best work for us, okay?
That's how many hats are you going to be wearing? Like, you just need, like, a rotating hat for Sheets and Giggles, DraftKings, Metal Arc.
It's funny. I'm going to be totally nude wearing a lot of hats.
Well, if you're nude, just tattoo the names on all over your body.
One of the hats will be covering my midsection.
Okay.
That's where the Greg Cody Show hat will be.
Okay. All right. I don't want to delve into the details on that one. I was trying to think of a small hat joke, but I couldn't think of what a small hat was. So, do we want to do Super Bowl talk right now? Because sure. I have an honest question about a Rams-Bengals Super Bowl. And I hardly ever say this with a Super Bowl matchup. With this one, I can talk myself into it being an exceptional great matchup or just sort of so-so. And I can also talk myself into being a sort of weak matchup that's not really going to thrill the country. And I'm wondering how you guys feel about it as football fans, as TV watchers.
I'm excited about it. I feel like most recent years, Tom Brady's either been in the Super Bowl or it's been somebody in there. Like, you know, Big Ben, I wasn't really rooting for. Basically, I think finally we have a matchup where it's two likable teams. There's always somebody in these recent Super Bowls, I feel like I've always been I knew who I wanted to win. It feels nice to be like, oh, Matthew Stafford, if he gets it, I'm cool with that. Oh, if the Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that's a fun story if they get it. I'm cool with that. The Bengals haven't ever had a Super Bowl?
No, Well, they've been in one.
Yeah, that's what I think is cool about this, is these are teams that I've been accustomed to never being anywhere close to this.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of cool to see two fresh teams in there with a lot of names we haven't seen before.
And isn't it wild how much being a nerd coach is in? I talked about this a little on the Levitard. I know. I need to bring this up because it was not respected on the Levitard show, so I'm going to do it here. We mock. If you're a football guy, a tough, we mock you. If you look like the McDaniel guy, Kellen Moore, look at the two finalists for the Dolphins head coach.
I love it. Yeah.
It's if you're a nerd, this is you're in the NFL right now.
Actually, this is the perfect time for us to jump in right now with this awkward post recording of the podcast update on that Dolphins head coaching situation. The Dolphins have just hired what's his first name? You say what happened.
The Dolphins Sunday evening are announcing that they're hiring Mike McDaniels, the San Francisco 49ers offensive coordinator, as their new head coach.
It is a nerd. I'm telling you, nerd is in.
Yeah, he's a nerd, a good nerd.
Nerd.
It's not a surprise. They had a 10-hour interview with him to close the deal. And
9 hours Jim Harbaugh did with the Vikings. So they're like, we got to beat that by an hour. What do you do in an interview for 10 hours?
I can't imagine.
That had to count a big, long lunch. Like, this is not 10 hours of interviewing. I hate how we, like, have to, like, impress each other with how long the interview was.
I know.
You hired the guy. I don't give a shit how long it took you to
interview. This guy's in his 30s. How much can he say in 10 hours? He's lived a third of his life. I mean, what's going on here?
He's probably really smart.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I think I said it elsewhere in the podcast. I hope they hire McDaniels because he's a good...
You just said it, actually.
Okay. I thought the original... The best guy for the job was Brian Daboll, the Buffalo Bills coordinator.
Other than Brian Flores.
Well, don't get me started on that. They should never have fired Flores. But I think if they couldn't get Daboll, I think McDaniels, he's young, he's effervescent, he's great behind a microphone. He's going to bring some excitement, I think. But I will say this, right now what the Dolphins need is healing. You know, they need, after an unpopular firing... And after all this lawsuit stuff and the owner, Stephen Ross, being under fire, the Dolphins need cohesion right now.
It's interesting. Like, I wonder, is this a difficult job to take? Because the Dolphins are such, after what happened with Flores, like, do you think that there's his McDaniels' people were like, you know, should we take this job right now?
I wouldn't doubt it. I would be surprised if that didn't sort of come up in the marathon 10-hour interview. I mean... you know, Flores is under fire right now and accused of all kind of stuff in that incendiary lawsuit. And so, yeah, if I'm the new coach joining the Miami Dolphins, I have all kind of questions about what I'm getting into. But, you know, it seems like they waited a while for this hire. A lot of the openings already happened. Doug Peterson was hired. Brian Daboll was hired. So their list of candidates was winnowing down. And they were down to either Kellen Moore of the Cowboys or Mike McDaniels of the 49ers. I have no idea. Nobody has any idea whether this first-year NFL head coach is going to be a great hire. But I think there's optimism here.
All jokes aside about being a nerd is in. Every good team in the league right now in terms of, like, offenses, like with the Packers and the Rams and the Niners even, you got to have that young, analytic-driven, offensive-mind guy. And say what you want about Brian Flores, he wasn't that. He was a defensive guy. Our defense was good with him.
Right.
So if our defense with the Dolphins can stay close to what it was with Brian Flores and we can become one of these cool, fun, modern offenses, you know, who knows, like, what this is going to turn out. But you can't at least be a little like, okay, let's see what this does.
I agree. If I'm being the naysayer, he had Jimmy Garoppolo, who he didn't exactly transform into a superstar, but...
Yeah, but he made Debo Samuel, like, one of the...
Oh, my gosh,
and the way they used George Kittle, like...
Yeah.
The offense, that was a good scheme with the San Francisco 49ers. I think just the lack of skill with Garoppolo is what held them back, not the scheme.
No doubt. And if they're smart enough to re-sign Mike Gesicki, the tight end, I think he can be, you know, the next George Kittle. I think they have the weapons to have a Debo Samuel, that hybrid running back receiver. So, yeah, there's a lot of optimism here with this hire. Let's see.
The one consistent from Friday's recording of the podcast and this update on Sunday is your voice is still bad.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't know what to say about it, but even in my own ear, it sounds awful.
Let's get back to the episode where your voice also sounded bad.
Please, thank you.
Nice chatting with you.
Nice chatting with you.
In the 70s, McDaniel's never getting a head coaching job in the 70s.
Right.
Guy, have you seen this guy?
He's the like, equipment manager.
He's our show. Right. I'm pretty sure I've heard him described as quirky.
He's funny. He's so, really like, funny. He doesn't act like an NFL coach, to your point. He acts like quite the opposite, and I love all that. I love this matchup because you have a clear-cut underdog, a Cinderella team in Cincinnati. They were less than a Super Bowl in 88, which I remember.
Not in this game, they're not a big underdog. Like, you're just saying overall their franchise?
I thought I said a big Cinderella.
I thought you were saying like that in this game, they're a big ups, like underdog.
Well, they're 3.5 points. I think anything over a field goal is a...
They were an underdog to get here. That's what well, how you can course, phrase yeah. that, is they were an underdog right. to even get there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if I think we should be able to all agree that Cincinnati, by any definition, is the underdog, the lovable underdog in this.
But this game is easily winnable for them. I mean, easily is a weird term to throw, but like compared to what they would have been up against, like when I saw that they won, I was like, holy crap. Before the NFC game, I was like, they could beat either of these NFC teams. Like, it wouldn't be a giant shock if they did. So I'm hoping that that leads to a really good, tough matchup, like a very even matchup that's down to the wire.
I mean, if it's one of those things, I saw a thing where it's like, you know, they have all the different units of a team, quarterback, receivers, running backs, coaching, special teams, and all the checks were with the Rams. Like, if you look at each matchup, quarterbacks, Joe Burrow is good, but you probably give the edge to Matthew Stafford. He's just been around more, even though he hasn't done a lot of winning. But there's not a single check, coaching, special teams, defensive line, offensive line. Like, it is all, on paper, all the Rams. So it's interesting. Like, that chart made me want to bet the Rams. That's where I'm leaning. I don't know about you.
Yeah. The underdogs have been winning this whole postseason. But when you talk about the biggest advantage for the Rams, obviously it's their pass rush versus Cincy's offensive line. Yeah. Having said that,
that should be the game.
It should be the game. But it was only a couple of weeks ago that Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times and managed to find a way to win. So I don't know if that's necessarily a difference maker.
I want to see the Bengals win, but if I'm placing bets, which I don't bet, but if I'm placing bets, it would be on the Rams to do it.
Right. I'll be curious which way the line moves because hasn't it already gone from 3.5 to 4.5? I mean, the money's on LA right now, I think, although I don't follow it.
Yeti, the stigma is off of gambling now. You don't have to do that little caveat at the end. I don't play sports. I'm very anti-betting.
I haven't placed a bet on anything since the Braves lost to the
Twins.
Don't
give a shit about your bona fides on not betting. And I bet lost all the time. Are you judging me? Card. Are you saying that I'm a bad person because I bet? Yeti?
No, I'm saying, huh? I don't like losing. That's what I'm saying. I will lose and I don't like
if it. You should bet because then we could call you Betty.
That's right.
Betty Blanc, rest in peace.
I want to get to my special edition deluxe Mount Gregmore, which is a top 10 of...
Top 10?
Yeah, it's a top 10.
Oh my! I mean, what the frick are we doing around
it's,
here?
It concerns the biggest story in sports right now, which is fired Dolphin coach Brian Flores suing the NFL.
You're going to do a Mount Gregmore around that story?
Yes. Yes, he's declaring that the NFL has racist hiring practices, and he may be right. He's also alleging that that Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, offered him a $100,000 per game bribe in 2019 to intentionally lose, which is absolutely incendiary. Stephen Ross denies it vehemently, but if it's true, then Stephen Ross is deposed. He's out as owner, and this is a huge story. And so I wrote a column that is online now, but appeared in the Sunday print edition of the Miami Herald, putting into context this scandal with the top 10 scandals in Miami Dolphins history.
Ooh, so, okay. I thought you were going to make this about the Brian Flores. I mean, it's Dolphin scandals. I'm into that. I want to hear that list. But I feel like the story, like, as I read, actually, you know, more reading from Chris, I read a good chunk of that 58-page report.
Right.
And there's a few of them that I feel like are not, there's so much in there that there's some things that I feel like haven't gotten the headlines. And there's the one where were we going to get Brady if Brian Flores was down? Like, did Brian Flores ruin the chance for us to get Brady? Because this is from it. In the winter of 2020, Mr. Ross invited Mr. Flores onto a yacht for lunch. Shortly after he arrived, Mr. Ross told Mr. Flores that a prominent quarterback was conveniently arriving at the marina. Obviously, Mr. Ross had attempted to set up a purportedly impromptu meeting between Mr. Flores and the prominent quarterback. Mr. Flores refused the meeting and left the yacht immediately. After the incident, Mr. Flores was treated with disdain and held out as someone who was a non-compliant, difficult to work with.
Right.
I mean, this is like, obviously, you know, you're putting an employee in a bad spot. Like, I understand why this is not fair to Brian Flores.
Right.
But just like as an idiot fan for a second, if Brian Flores, like a lot of people have done unjustly, played ball, quote unquote, do we have Brady?
Well, we'd have probably had him for that 1 or 2 years. Then again,
but that's obviously, but that's like, so we would have been the Bucks the last 2 years. Like, that's like, I'm like, what the, that could have, well, like, there's part of me as a fan that's like, that would have been cool.
Okay. First of all, the prominent quarterback has been reported by one outlet to have been Tom Brady. It hasn't been confirmed.
I just want it to be. Can I just do this?
Second of all, Tom Brady was under contract at the time. And if the Dolphins were found guilty of tampering, chances are the NFL would not have allowed the signing or the trade to go forth. So that's sort of a side street to everything.
Anyways, your top 10 Dolphin scandals of all time, which is, why is it a Mount Gregmore?
This is a deluxe Mount Gregmore.
Why? I mean, this is just a top 10 list. This is double. This has never been any kind of Rushmore, any type of Gregmore. This is ridiculous.
First, the Mount Gregmore honorable mention of all-time Dolphin scandals.
How many are in this honorable mention before you get to your top 10?
This is outside of the 10?
Yeah.
There's 53 of
them. Dad.
How many scandals have the Dolphins had?
Well, they've had a lot. I'm going to be very quick about this. These scandals did not make our list.
I don't care about them if they didn't make them.
Yeah.
The franchise worst 1-15 season in 2007, in which Cam Cameron became the only coach fired after one season, after which the team then had a chance to draft Matt Ryan number one and didn't. That didn't make the list. Neither did Laramie Tunsil in 2016, seen smoking from a bong on draft night. And neither did Alfred Oglesby in 1992 claim to have been abducted at gunpoint so as not to admit that he fell asleep and missed a meeting. Did not make the top 10. And now, number 10. It paid off, but it was tampering. The Dolphins tampered to get Don Shula from the Baltimore Colts in 1970 and were fined a number one draft pick. Number 9. Stephen Ross called out for hypocrisy. Other players on the Dolphins, plenty of them, mostly black players, called him out, some publicly, because he held a massive fundraiser for presidential hopeful Donald Trump after founding an initiative that claimed to support equal rights and social justice. A lot of black players found that hypocritical.
Even you're falling asleep while you read this.
I was just going to say, like, that. Did you just take a nap midway through that?
Number 8, 1977, Randy Crowder and Don Reese, both defensive tackles on the Dolphins, are arrested by Miami undercover cops for trying to sell a pound of cocaine and sentenced to 1 year in jail. Number 7, Stephen Ross woos Jim Harbaugh in 2011 while having another coach under contract. Number 6, the Deshaun Watson pursuit humiliates Tua Tagovailoa. Number 5, Don Shula's awkward exit. The all-time winningest coach did not retire on his own terms. He was pushed out, Shula believed, to his dying day by Jimmy Johnson intervening and lobbying for the job. Number 4.
The cobbler.
That's right. Nick Saban and Drew Brees. Saban had a chance to sign Brees, but didn't because he got faulty medical advice from the Dolphins.
How's
Number 3.
Huh? How's this going?
What's that?
How's this going?
It's going great, man. We're building up. Number 3.
It sounds like you're just one constant, the 4 straight minutes of you just reading.
You're really pushing the line right now between me being very upset with you. Number 3. In 2017, offensive line coach Chris Forster resigns in shame after being seen in a video doing lines of cocaine.
White powdery substance.
Cocaine. Now that is something I can get behind.
From his office desk. And by the way, it was only called a white powdery substance until Chris Forster later admitted that it was cocaine and sent himself into rehab. Number two, Bullygate in 2013, in which Richie Incognito bullied teammate Jonathan Martin. And I remember that. And the Today Show was at Dolphins camp. I mean, it was a bigger than sports story. And number one, yes, what we're in the middle of right now, Brian Flores takes on Ross and the NFL in a scandal that could bring down the owner of the Dolphins and the general manager and cause the franchise to be fined a record amount and docked very high draft picks. Big, big story that we're in the middle of. My voice is shot, but that's our Mount Gregmore deluxe of the biggest scandals in Dolphins history.
Hey, let's hear it for this crowd. Hey, wake up, lady. Hey, what's her name? Wake up. We're going to talk now. We're back. All right, here we go. Good.
I forgot we had an audience of non-sport Olympians.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, audience, for coming out.
Yeah, we really appreciate that.
Should we hear from one more on the way out?
I think we should.
All right, this is Elena.
The one who was just napping.
Hi. So my fiance is, I think, maybe one of the most loyal fans. I hear the Dan Le Batard show most hours of the waking day in my life, which is pretty great. It brings him a lot of joy, so thank you. For the non-Olympic Olympic sports, I would like to suggest putting on mascara in a moving car without messing up your eyelashes or losing an eye.
Wow.
My name is Eliana. My social media, I guess my Instagram handle is Naturally Curly, spelled N-A-T-U-R-E-L-L-I, Curly, all one word. And that's my Olympic sport I would like to recommend for the show.
That's
Thanks.
A pretty good it. One, actually.
That's a good one.
We should have Greg do that one for TikTok.
You know, that's a very good one. That's an excellent one.
I like
one.
That one. I mean, I've seen, we've all, my wife has many a times been doing that. And I don't know if she'd make the Olympics. I'm going to be honest. She there's a lot of cursings, a lot of, hey, slow down, stop being so jerky to me.
Greg, did you put your Walter Mercado makeup on in the car?
God. What a horrific memory.
You know that applying makeup is an archaic term for applying makeup is farting. F-A-R-D-I-N-G. Farting.
Why?
To fard is to apply makeup. So that's the
wow.
Where it comes from.
That interests me.
My dad just got excited there. I don't want to say what I...
The point has arrived.
The
I
point.
Mean, I love the point. I love learning new words at this advanced age. I really
I feel
do.
Like the point is our exit ramp here. I feel like that.
I think we've reached the point where we need to end this episode.
This has been a fun episode, but I want to end it in a way that's not fun. And this is serious. One of the things I love about doing this podcast is that there's something very personal about the sound of a voice and people hearing it and enjoying it. And we want you to think of us as friends who are fun to be around every week. And so I, in that spirit, I want to be very personal with you all and give you the highs and lows of my life on and off the air. And I'm in my 60s. And one of the byproducts of growing older is that your number of friends begins to get smaller because you lose friends. And I just lost a dear friend recently named Jake. And the two couples, my wife and I and Jake and his wife, once a year, we would just pick a random city. The four of us would meet in that city and just have a ball, a long weekend. And we've done that in Cleveland, San Antonio, Charleston, Memphis, Nashville, Montreal, Key West, Austin, New Orleans, and we were planning a rendezvous in Chicago, but Jake died suddenly just a couple of weeks ago. And I just wanted to make this episode in his honor. Miss you, Jake. Love you.